Hello, I'm Fraser Myers, Deputy Editor of Spiked, and I'm really pleased to be joined down the line by Andrew Fox, a former British Army officer and co-host of the new podcast, The Brink. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Andrew, we're talking the day after Keir Starmer, or the UK, has officially recognised a Palestinian state. The British Prime Minister insists that this is not some kind of reward for terrorism, or it's not of no benefit to Hamas. Is he right?
Well, Hamas certainly disagree with that, having yesterday announced it as the reward for 7th of October. And on top of that, it's also being reported that Palestine now plans to sue the United Kingdom for up to £1 trillion in compensation for the way we divided up the land in 1948. So all in all, he's rewarded terrorism, potentially put us into an international court battle with the Palestinians. He's extended the war in Gaza and probably killed the hostages. So all in all, a phenomenal day's work by our Prime Minister.
Yeah, could you just expand on that a little bit? Because there's a lot of talk about how this is merely symbolic. It doesn't mean anything. That's one side of the criticism. Other people are saying, as you're saying, that, you know, this actually will have quite a grave effect on the ground. How would that work?
Well, it's quite disingenuous to say that it's meaningless, because, of course, formal state recognition opens the door to a whole raft of sanctions and other actions to be taken against Israel potentially in future. So we can park that argument. But in terms of the war in Gaza, neither side now has any incentive to cease fire.
Mm.
Hamas are getting exactly what they want on the international stage, so they have every reason to keep fighting. And Israel, of course, is now backed into a corner. And so I expect them to continue prosecuting the war in Gaza. Anyone outside of Washington now has almost no leverage with Jerusalem. So anything we do is not going to deter the Israelis for as long as the White House holds firm for Netanyahu. And we're also seeing this sort of international pressure on Israel, backing them into a corner with the West Bank as well.
Mm.
So I would expect to see, if not firm moves for more annexation, certainly moves in that direction, as Israel will try and do everything it can to make sure that a Palestinian state doesn't appear on anyone's terms without Israel's buy-in or agreement.
And what would this state look like? I mean, there aren't any agreed borders. Presumably there's no legitimate leadership. How can a state be recognised in these circumstances?
Well, quite so. Legally, it doesn't meet any of the criteria needed by the non-binding international treaty that gives a kind of description of what a state should be. The Foreign Office have updated their travel map to show essentially the 1967 borders, which again is just wishful thinking at this point due to the amount of Israeli settlement that we see within the West Bank area. But quite curiously, the British map also puts every single sacred site of Judaism inside the Palestinian area and not the Israeli area. So straight away, this is again the UK playing fantasy politics. And quite honestly, the days of us drawing lines on maps in the Middle East, that's a long time ago. And I think it's incredibly colonialist and presumptuous for Labour to think that they can dictate this to Israel and it not have any comebacks.
And what does it mean for Britain to be betraying Israel in this way, to be betraying an ally? Surely this can't be good for us in the long term.
Well, it shows that we have a government who are prepared to put domestic considerations ahead of our international position. It's clearly a decision driven by the far left in the Labour cabinet and the electorate that they're so terrified of alienating. It shows that we're not a reliable partner, which puts our huge intelligence sharing with Israel at risk. We do give them some intelligence, so there is a little bit of stick there to go with the carrot, but they give us far more. On top of that, they have, vital military equipment that we need, like the Typhoons. Our Typhoon squadrons don't operate without the Lightning Pod. They can't do ground attack without it. And that's an Israeli piece of equipment. Royal Navy ships have Israeli radar components. There's a whole intricate kind of connection to Israel through our defense industries. And what Mr. Starmer has done has made us less safe, and it's made the Middle East less safe, because peace now looks further away than ever.
Do you think it's fair to characterize this as a kind of Neville Chamberlain moment, a sort of a day of shame, an act of cowardice?
I think it's cruel to Neville Chamberlain to compare Starmer to him. All Chamberlain did was think he'd come to a peace agreement with the Nazis, whereas the Palestinians have had to make no concessions whatsoever to Starmer to get this deal. Recognition of Palestine was always one of the levers that could be pulled to try and incentivize a peace movement in the Middle East. That's now gone. And all Palestinians had to do to get it was go on a rape, murder and slaughter rampage that was the biggest killing of Jews since the Holocaust. And Mr. Starmer sees fit to reward that. So frankly, Chamberlain looks like a titan of diplomacy in comparison to Keir Starmer.
And finally, why have so many states chosen to do this at the same time? What's your reading into that?
Well, there certainly seems to be some relatively backroom coordination for all of this, even down to the use of language. I noticed that Canada's copy and paste misspelled their own word for recognize using an S instead of a Z. There is a very clear network of think tanks, incredibly pro-Qatar leaning, that have hosted a number of these progressive leaders from Australia, Canada, the UK. And their announcements and synchronization seem to be very in keeping with the dates of these conferences. So we can expect to see more of that going forward as there's yet another one of these conferences coming up in the next week.
And is there anything you think that is sort of missing from the general debate or discussion that needs to be brought to the fore? What are the mainstream commentators not noticing or not picking up on?
Well, I think this is being framed as a good thing for Palestine, but actually it strikes me that it's more a deliberate punitive measure against Israel. When Starmer first announced this, he said it was only going to happen if Israel adhered to certain conditions. There was no mention of any requirements on the Palestinians other than vague notices about releasing the hostages, which is obviously no sort of a useful stick at all, because there have been 2 years of diplomacy for much more powerful players than Keir Starmer, and it hasn't happened. So it was clearly always going to happen no matter what Israel did. I think this is a way for the progressive consensus worldwide to have yet another crack at Israel rather than trying to do anything that's actually going to make the Middle East more peaceful or help Palestinians in any way.
Andrew Fox, thank you very much.